Blog Talk Radio.
As the song said, we do need devotion. By the looks of it, what do you think? Political unrest, gun violence, and so on and so forth. Things have changed, and but not for the better. Some people have, may ask me the question, Yom Suf, do you think we have changed? I said, yes, but not for the better. Roughly about two-thirds of us ain't looking for nothing, don't want nothing, and ain't trying to get nothing. It's true. And we're down with whatever. This is the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yom Suf. I'm your lead student along with Cartrell of New York City. You see, the Real Talk for Real People show has been designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. You see, it's all about relationships if you don't hadn't realized it. It's all about having a constructive and positive relationship, non-toxic and non-poisonous. You see, if you have a poisonous and toxic relationship with the Creator, it will be deadly for you. If you have a constructive and positive relationship with the Creator, it will improve your status, concrete your relationship, and ensure that your soul don't go to hell. And also with one another, as far as our relationship is concerned, we can help enhance and improve our relationships. Because as I said, beginning of this show, all of our, two-thirds of us, our relationships are a hot mess. Toxic, poisonous, mistreating one another, abusing one another, and sometimes killing one another. That's because you don't have a quality relationship with one another and with strangers. If you don't have a constructive and positive relationship with strangers, that's because you're not executing a plan. Simply, you're going about what you think is right. You're doing what you feel like is right. We have become feel-good people. Instead of going by the protocol and codification, as our founding father did when he went into a different nation. He didn't go in there starting trouble. He didn't go in there looking for trouble. He went in to mind his own business and being constructive and positive when called for, and only dealing with negativity when they brought it to him. Are you like that? But you wouldn't know this if you didn't do any study. You would do things by chance and a happenstance, and maybe feel good. Feel good doesn't work. Chance and happenstance doesn't work. The only thing work is exercising constructive and positive relationships with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, with each other, and with strangers. But before Cartrell and I get started in our study sessions, you know I like to make commentary on ongoing subject matters. They've come to find out that Donald Trump and his conciliary, that's an Italian name for crooked lawyer, Bill Barr, was investigating his opponents, his political opponents. He even had a child being investigated. I wouldn't be surprised if he had the Real Talk for Real People show investigated. I wouldn't be surprised if he had Cartrell investigated. I wouldn't be surprised if he had me investigated. I wouldn't be surprised if he had you investigated. That's what mob boss do. They investigate their opponents. So if it comes as a shock to you, it certainly doesn't come as a shock to me. That's what mob bosses do. Also, you know, I told you I would keep y'all update on things as far as your travel is concerned. If you're considering going to Ghana, have you thought about your banking, how you would bank? It is not advisable to do in-country banking. It's best to keep your bank in the United States of America and do online banking and so on and so forth, okay? Because they said the banking there, you had to be in line for everything. There's no drive-through in Ghana. Don't think you just zip up and, hey, I need $20. No, don't worry like that. So you got to stand in line in Ghana, and if the bank is overflowed, you got to be outside under 10. You know, that may not be advantageous for you. So my advice to you is to ask your bank, if I go to Ghana, can I still do my banking online, Wi-Fi? I've discussed the matter with my banking, and they say, yes, you can still do your banking online, and so on and so forth. And also, your telephone services. Sometimes these phones don't work. It's not your phone, it's your carrier. Like T-Mobile. T-Mobile has an international plan that your phone works automatically. But sometimes you need to discuss with your phone carrier. Do they have an international plan where you can keep your same number and whatnot? And if not, you need to change carriers if you're contemplating going to Ghana, Gambia, or anywhere else. Because you may get over there, you think you're making a phone call, you get zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. Okay? So check with your phone provider. T-Mobile normally don't have to do anything. But if you have some of these little rinky-dink companies that you're dealing with, you need to call your company and ask, do they provide an international plan? And tell them what you're doing. Tell them I'm going to Ghana, and I'm going to be there for a long time. What kind of plan you got? Well, I can keep my same number. How would it be advantageous to me? So get all your ducks in order, okay? All right, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Yom Suf. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, brother and friend. May bless you and your family also. And a related message to Yom Yahu.
Okay. We can't send our people, broken as they are, heart and spirit and soul, back to Ghana with a Western mentality.
It's not going
to
work.
We have to get ourselves together here before we go anywhere, because we will show ourselves and embarrass ourselves no matter where we go.
Oh, it's true, Katria. Oh, it's true.
So before you think about going to Ghana, you better think about changing yourself and being in tune with the Most High God, because they're not accepting our foolishness over in Ghana.
No, no, uh-uh. They ain't going. They don't get out like that.
So before you contemplate going to Ghana, we need to find the Most High Yah. We need to find the God of our ancient fathers. We need to find ourselves. We are broken people. And no matter where we go, we're going to show ourselves. The neighborhood I live in, my people don't care. They throw their garbage in the street like somebody's supposed to clean up after them. And you ain't doing that in Ghana.
No, they ain't having none of that. And you go wear them face masks. If they tell you put a face mask on, you better have it on.
So before we put the cart before the horse, we need to get ourselves together here. We need to learn how to work with each other, to support each other, to have each other's back before we go anywhere in the world. Trust me.
Exactly.
If we can't trust each other, have each other's back, then we shouldn't be going nowhere.
Exactly. And we don't know how to talk to other folks. We don't know how to deal with other cultures. You should be going anywhere because people are not putting up with your nonsense. Okay? You're not going to come in and force your opinion down other folks. So look down on folks and talk bad to folks, shake your head, and snap your fingers and all that whatnot stuff. That ain't happening, Captain. Okay?
So this is why we go through these studies. Because first and foremost, we need to know how to walk in the earth before the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If we could walk before the Creator in our integrity and in our uprightness, like our King, King David, we can go anywhere in the world. As a matter of fact, the Philistines accepted King David because of his integrity, because of how he walked with Yah. And King David was an enemy to the Philistines. So even your enemies will show you favor when you walk the Most High. But if
right.
you ain't walking with the Most High, you're walking on your own mind, your own heart, your own inspiration, you in trouble.
You might well stay here. You might well stay here, okay? So ain't nobody going to put up with you except these folks here. They don't have way put up with you, okay? So you can't take your show on the road. If you ain't right with Yah, you might well stay here. That's my suggestion. All right, Cartrell, fellow students. Cartrell, if you're done with your commentary, I certainly am. And I'm ready to get busy in our studies. You ready, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Fellow students, please turn to chapter 7 of 2 Kings. We get started. May the Most High bless us by his word, and we apply this word to activate the blessing by instituting them in our lives. Can't talk about it. You got to be about it. All right. The last chapter, the last verse in chapter 6. While he was still talking to them, the messenger came to him and said, "This calamity is from the Elohim. What more can I hope for from the Elohim?" And Elisha the prophet replied, "Hear the word of Yah. Thus said Yah, this time tomorrow, the Shiah, a Shiah of choice flour, shall sail for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Now we're talking about the 10 tribes of Israel. "And two shiahs of barley for a shekel." I mean, everything was exorbitant and inflated because they were under attack.
Yeah, I'm too.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's that doing?
Chapter 7. Chapter 7.
Okay.
Yeah, I started in the 33 verse of chapter 6. Okay. "And two shears of barley for a shekel. The aid on whose arm the king was leaning spoke up and said to the man of Yah, even if the Elohim were to make windows in the sky, could this come to pass? And Elisha retorted, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. There were four men, lepers outside the gate. They said to one another, why should we sit here waiting for death? If we decide to go into town, what with the famine in town, we should die there. And if we sit here, still we should die. Come, let us desert to the Armenian camp, the Syrian. And if they let us live, we shall live. And if they put us to death, we shall not, and if they put us to death, we shall but die. They said, basically, those four lepers said, I mean, the way things are going, we're between a rock and a hard place. We can't win for losing. I mean, we're four lepers. We're outside the gate. If we go in, we're going to cause problems. We're going to die even with this famine. And if we leave, it's going to be some problem. So let us desert to the Armenian, the Syrian camp. If they let us live, we shall live. If they put us to death, we shall but die. Because, I mean, we're between a rock and a hard place. They
so
said after, yeah,
it
go
shows
ahead,
you, even though they were afflicted with leper, they were prepared and willing and ready to face death.
Exactly.
I mean, how many of us are ready to face death?
Well, contrary, just because you're a leper or any other physical ailment, that don't mean you ain't got no good sense, okay? These mean
not only that.
Uh-huh,
it doesn't
right.
mean that the Most High won't show you favor.
Exactly. Exactly. See, people judge on the outside appearance, contrary. But Yah doesn't judge on the outside appearance. And Yah said it. We've read it. We studied it. My ways are not your ways, and I don't think like you think. Okay? So when y'all trying to figure out Yah, you need to be trying to figure out yourself, because you ain't going to never figure out Yah thinking. Whatever he ain't left for you to know how he think, anything else, you just speculating, and you're being presumptuous. He left you what he wanted you to know. And anything else he didn't leave you, you're being presumptuous, okay? And you're basically leaning to your own understanding. And that's a high-risk situation right there, a very high-risk situation. Uh-huh. Go ahead, Cartier.
When you see a leper, you think that Yah cursed them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But Yah is showing favor to these lepers more
exactly.
than he's showing to the people that don't have leprosy.
Exactly.
How they get the message first, and the most they're supposed to be cursed.
Their heart wasn't right. Their spirit wasn't right, Cartrell.
The
apparently,
people's spirit wasn't right. The leper spirit was right.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Leper spirit. But the yeah, that's what I was saying, Katya, the hearts and the spirits of the people. And the king wasn't right. But the hearts and spirits of these four lepers were on point.
So it's an important lesson, because you can be under punishment from the Most High, and he could be communicating with you first.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we have to tune into Yah. That's the bottom line of the lesson. Even though these lepers had leprosy, they couldn't even go into the city. They had to go to the gates of the city and talk. They couldn't go in the city. They had to stay on the outskirts of the city and convey their message. But who was Yah with? Was he with the lepers, or was he with the people who was in the city?
Well, we're going to find out, Katya. We're going to find out. Okay. They set out at twilight for the Armenian camp, the Syrian camp.
And wait a minute, wait. Because we read yesterday where they was eating mule's head and cannibalism.
Oh, yes.
That's where we're at now.
Oh, yes.
Mule's heads and one woman bawling her child, and then the next night she looking for the other child and the woman then disappeared. That's
and
the point we're at in the story.
And a mule's head is an unclean animal. A mule is animal fuzz. Not only then the cannibalism, the mule head, an unclean animal, then we're resorting to cannibalism. Come on, man. We in dire straits here. And something should have compelled them to seek Yah and find out the solution. But they were, I guess their spirits and their hearts went right. They were totally unlike these four lepers. So these four lepers set out at twilight for the Armenian camp. But when it came to the edge of the Armenian camp, the Syrian camp.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt you. But these four lepers are so desperate, they had to go to the enemy's camp.
Sometimes
they attack our people.
Sometimes it be that way, bro.
That's why they said, if we go to their camp, we're either going to live or we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's how desperate they were.
Exactly.
They was willing to face death, even though they was plagued with leprosy. They didn't turn to the Israelites. They turned to the Syrians, who was about to attack the 10 tribes of Israel.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. And, okay, when they came to the edge of the Armenian camp, the Syrians, there was no one there. For the Elohim had caused the Armenian camp to hear a sound of chariots, a sound of horses, a din of a huge army. The Syrians said to one another, "The king of Israel must have hired the kings of the Hittites and the king of the Mazarines, the Egyptians, to attack us." They fled headlong in the twilight, abandoning their tents, horses, and asses. The entire camp was just as it was as they fled for their lives. So when those lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into one of the tents, they ate and drank, then they carried off silver and gold and clothing from there and buried it. They came back and went into another tent. They carried off what was there and buried it. Then they said to one another, we're not doing right. We're just looking out for ourselves. And I got mine. They ain't got theirs. That ain't right. Yeah.
They know that the people in the city are eating donkey head and their own children.
And they said, this ain't right. We fool. We getting paid. And we know folk getting donkey head and eating their little babies. This ain't right. But we doing it right, y'all. See, that's when they had a good heart. You knew these lepers had a good heart and a good spirit connected with y'all. Because they knew the protocol. They knew the codification. They knew looking out for one another was in the best interest of all. They knew this. And here's what they said. This is a day of good news. And we're keeping silent. We're keeping all this goodies to ourselves. And if we waited until the light of morning, we shall incur gifts because this ain't right. Okay, come. Let us go inform the king's palace. They went and called out the gatekeeper of the city and told them, "We have been to the Syrian city." Go ahead.
They had to talk to the gatekeepers because they could not go into the city as they were lepers.
Right.
So they had to get the message to the king some way, somehow. So they talked to the gatekeeper who kept them out of the city because they were lepers.
Well, there's still the way to do the right thing, and they found a way to do the right thing under the circumstances. They told the gatekeepers that the Syrians' camp, there's not a soul there, nor any human sound, but the horses tethered and the asses tethered, and the tents are undisturbed. The gatekeepers called out, and the news was passed on into the king's palace. The king rolled. Go ahead.
What kind of fear does it take to leave your horses, your mules, your tents, your wealth, and everything? What kind of fear is that for you to leave all that behind?
Well, it was called mass hysteria. Yeah, and they had so, let me tell you, Cottrell, let me tell you, let me ask the question. These men, these Syrians, knew that when the Israelites were plugged into Yah, it could be hell and high water. And so the sound that they heard, the din of an army approaching them, they got plugged in. We better get to getting. Forget about the horses. Forget about the asses. Just forget about everything. Let's get going. So, yeah, they knew about Yah. They knew his exploits and what he did when Israel was plugged in. Okay, Cottrell.
So now the question is, do we know that Yah fights our battles for us?
No, Cottrell, we don't know that. Two-thirds of us don't. Two-thirds of us don't. We know how to kill each other, how to mistreat each other, how to abuse each other, how to backbite each other, how to do everything except the right thing, unlike these four lepers who knew the protocol and procedures, who knew the codification and the exercise. We just double down on the madness, and we think that's going to work for us.
So you know what, Yamsu?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Cottrell.
I don't need no AK-47.
No, you don't.
I don't need those 357 Magnum.
No, you don't.
I don't need no Glock 45.
No, you don't.
I don't need a tank.
No, you don't.
I don't need an F-15.
No, you don't.
I don't need an aircraft carrier.
No, you don't.
But you know what? Yah fights my battles and my people's battle for us.
Exactly. You don't even need a BB gun, an air pellet gun, Kadri. To be told.
Because it means if I did get a 45 or AK-47,
right,
it don't match no F-15 or no aircraft carrier or no nuclear bombs.
You're only lying. These
people got bombs to blow up the planet 300 times.
And you think you can run off into a mountain high from them?
That's your battle for me.
Yeah.
I don't have a nuclear bomb in my house. No, I don't.
Well, look here. They got penetrating bombs. You think you had what's that guy named? That guy from the Taliban. What was his name? They got him in
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. Ask Osama bin Laden. They got bunker penetrating bombs. And you think just because you run and hide in the forest and hide up in the mountains, they can't get at you.
With your little side arm, your little 45.
They would have been talking loud and seeing nothing. You better get plugged in, brothers and sisters.
With your AK-47.
Ain't gonna do you no good. You can't make no bullets. And when you ran out of bullets, you couldn't make any bullets for it anyway. You don't have an armament factory. What are you gonna do? Shoot rocks?
You know when the prophet Moshe and his brother Aaron faced the king of Egypt with? 2 sticks.
Yeah, 2 sticks. 2 sticks.
2 staffs. Shepherd's staff.
Yep.
And you going up against chariots and archers and dudes that knew how to sling the sword. You going up with 2 shepherd's sticks?
Well,
you and your brother?
They were plugged in. When you're plugged in, Well, see, the battle isn't joined by men, but Yah wins the battle. And especially when you're plugged into him, you ain't got to strategize, you ain't got to do nothing but follow the instructions and whatnot. And sometimes they're quite simple. But when you start leaning to your own understanding, you start coming up with these grandiose ideals, and you're trying to get the adulation, that don't work for you. Okay? All right.
And in our reading, we know that the Most High said it's not by might, nor by power, but by that which proceeds out of my mouth. And we got to know what Yah's saying. If you don't know what Yah's saying, you're in trouble.
Exactly. You got to be plugged in. So the gatekeepers called out, and the news was passed on into the king's palace. The king rose in the night and said to his courtiers, I will tell you what the Assyrians have done to us. They know we are starving. So they've gone out of camp and hidden in the heat of that. He leaned to his own understanding. He going to tell them what's up. Instead of him seeking Yah, he going to tell them what's up. And we will take them alive and get them into the town. But one of the couriers spoke up. Let a few of the remaining horses that are still here be taken. They are like those that are left here and the whole multitude of Israel. Out of the whole
multitude. The king, he doesn't believe the report. But somebody has witnessed that these people have left their horses and their mules behind. And that's evidence of what the witnesses bringing forth to the king.
Right. Yeah. Well, the king actually leaned to his own understanding. He didn't seek inquiry from Yah. He's going by his own understanding. And like you said, the lepers had bought good intel. But he thinks it's a trick. But it's not a trick. And so this courier said, let us send and find out. They took two team of horses. And the king sent them after the Syrian army. Go and find out. They followed them as far as the Jordan and found the entire road full of clothing and gear, which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. The messengers returned and told the king. The people then went out and plundered the Syrian camp, so that a shekel of choice flour sold for a shea of choice flour, the inflation rate went down. They had got so much stuff that the inflation rate went down, that a shea of choice flour sold for a shekel. And two shears of barley for a shekel, as Yah had spoken. The inflation rate had went down. Now the Elohim, excuse me. Now
in the midst
king,
of a famine.
In a famine, right. It was so much they had. Now the king put the aide on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate. And he was trampled to death in the gate by the people, just as Yah had spoken. And they had spoken when the king came down to him. But when the
you know how people do.
Right.
That was like a Black Friday.
Right.
After Thanksgiving.
Shut up, man. Shut up, country.
With all the sales going on in the store.
It was Black Friday. You're wrong, 50%
off. Everybody lined up outside in their tent. When the store's open, they trample people. There was a 6'4" brother, 230 pounds. They trampled him to death on a Black Friday.
You're wrong with that, man. You know you're wrong with
that. But
this
is the same dude that didn't believe Elisha the prophet when the prophet told him that the Most High was gonna bring them a bounty. He asked him like, Yah, can Yah open up the windows of heaven? Or you're gonna find out, you're gonna see it, but you're not gonna benefit from it.
No.
So this is his judgment right here.
Right
there.
You've
seen it, but you're not benefiting because you're going to get trampled.
Right.
Like a Black Friday.
Shut up, God. I'm not going to buy into that. Just as the man of Yah had spoken, as he had spoken when the king came down to him. For the man of Yah said to the king, this time tomorrow, two shears of barley shall sell at the gate of Samaria for a shekel, and a shear of choice flour for a shekel. The aide answered, the man of Yah said, even if Yah made windows in heaven, I don't even think what you're talking about right. Could this come to pass? You know, you ain't talking right. That's what the aide said. And the
so the aide is thinking that y'all can't do the impossible.
Right, he said no, that's not possible. If y'all open the window
to
heaven,
so there's many people on earth right now that they think that y'all can't do the impossible.
Well,
even
he made a black Friday.
Y'all can do the impossible.
He made a Black Friday, didn't he?
Oh yeah, and he got trampled.
I did. Don't say
you gotta watch the word.
That's what I'm saying.
He's mocking the Most High. This man is mocking the Most High.
That's
and
what
the
he's
prophet
doing.
Is telling him because you mock the Most High. Trust me.
And his, right.
Y'all gonna
and
open
his,
up those windows that you think can't be woken up, and you're gonna see it. But you're not gonna benefit from it.
And here's what the prophet says: you should see it with your own eyes,
mm-hmm.
but you should not eat of it. That is exactly what happened to him. The people trampled him to death, as Cartier alluded to the fact they Black Fried him to death. Okay? Talking about what y'all can't do. I mean, don't never say what y'all can't do. Don't never let people tell you
Ooh-wee.
What y'all can't do. He may not
That's
do it for you.
Impossible.
But right, don't say what he won't do for you. Okay? Just because, well, you can't do that because they do that. Don't let people get in your head with that. Okay? Y'all does the impossible. Okay? Don't let people get in your head with that. Well, see, everybody else, you know, if y'all said it's going to go down, it's going down. I don't care nobody what everybody else doing. What everybody else getting down with to get out. You better make sure you're...
Or what everybody else says.
Exactly. What does that matter what everybody says, Cartrell? It doesn't matter because it doesn't mean anything what everybody else says. They're not the Elohim. They're not y'all. Y'all can do the impossible. Even when people say, well, we're used to going down like that. So you better get used to it too, Cartrell. You better get used to it too, Yamsu. No, don't get used to anything. You get used to what y'all tells you, and which is the impossible. Don't let people get into your heads. Cartrell, what say you, my brother and friend? Your commentary on it.
The impossible is possible by Yah.
Yeah. Cartrell, you made mention of the fact they were eating donkey heads and babies. Now look at them now, living high on the hog. And no pun intended, high on the hog, okay?
So he didn't bless the princes. He didn't bless the prophets. He didn't bless the king. He didn't bless the princes. This blessing came through lepers. Couldn't even go into the city. They had to talk to the gatekeeper and let the gatekeeper know that Yah's with us. He blessed us. We eating? You shouldn't be eating them donkey heads and your own children.
Exactly.
You know
what I mean? Jackass.
So, how we judge people is not how Yah judges men. Yah blessed the lepers first before he blessed the people that didn't have that plague of leprosy on them. That's where our humility should come in, right?
Exactly.
We should be humble. You think we're more blessed than a leopard? Oh, yeah, I'm not leprous. This man is leopard. And how is Yah with him or them? But Yah blessed the lepers first, right? They going through the Syrian camp, taking gold and silver, eating and drinking.
Brand new rags, getting
hot and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, nah, we can't. Nah. Come on, man.
We can't do this.
Lepers, we hot and stuff. We drinking, we eating, and our people is eating donkey heads and their own children. This ain't right.
Yeah, this ain't right. And these, you know, these men had good hearts and good spirits. Okay. No matter what they look like on the outside. These men had good hearts and stop judging people on the outside.
Right. How did people judge them? Like, y'all got to stay on the outside of the freaking city.
Exactly. Can't come in there. You got to die on the outside of the gate. If you going
to
die, you got
to
die.
And to the gatekeeper because he ain't letting you in.
Right. Cold-blooded. There's a lot of stories to be told here. And a lot of information to be gained here. The insight, the relationship they had with Yah, the lack of relationship that the king and the fellow that questioned y'all had with y'all, and how it was not to their favor, and how it was favorably for the lepers because they had a constructive and positive relationship with y'all. You know, we always talk about constructive. That means action. They could have just said, hey, well, I got mine. They better get theirs. Keep in them dunker heads and babies and baby kids. I don't like their baby kids anyway. I hear marketers and everything. Eat them all up. So, this ain't right. You know.
So, let's walk in the leper's shoes.
Okay.
Your people keep you on the outside of the city.
Ostracized.
But the Most High shows you more favor than your brothers and sisters that's keeping you on the outside of the city.
Yeah, and you don't treat people the way they treat you, because the way they treat you might not be right. So why would you return that in favor? These lepers, as Katria said, walking in their shoes, didn't return the favor. They went above, and they connected in what y'all said. You got to look out for one another. In spite of the fact how they've been mistreating y'all, in spite of the fact how they've ostracized y'all, y'all still have a moral obligation and duty to look out for one another, in spite of. Just like Cartrell and I do. I don't think we are high on anybody's list that don't serve y'all, as far as the Real Talk for Real People show is concerned. But nevertheless, we're duty-bound and obligated to treat our brothers and sisters according to the codification and mandate, and not backbite on them, not talk about them, not belittle them, not insult them, and personal attack them. So we're duty-bound, as you all are duty-bound, and morally obligated to Yah to go above and beyond the call of duty, so to speak. Go ahead, Kadriel.
So let's bring it to 2021.
Okay.
Because we got Facebook. Imagine if these lepers were on trying to get a message out to our people. Do you think our people would listen to these lepers who are on Facebook?
No.
Okay. And was y'all with these lepers?
He certainly was.
Okay.
But they still were duty-bound, nevertheless, to try. As in the case with them taking the information back to the king and the people of the town, they were duty-bound and morally obligated to do so. Now, if the people ever took issue with it and said, oh, them lepers, they don't know what they're talking about. They look nasty, except they need to go on about their business. They are hallucinating. But nevertheless, they were duty-bound and morally obligated to try. And at least they tried. And it worked out.
So my point is, now, Stu,
mm-hmm.
King Solomon said it. He said the Most High looks from heaven to see if there's anyone that seeks him and that does good. And Yah's conclusion, he said there's not one. There's none righteous. So we all have flaws, we all have fallacies, just like these lepers. But when Yah is with us, he tells us to deliver a message. You can't look at the fact that I got leprosy and I'm delivering the message of Yah to help you, to help me, to help all of us. Yes, I'm a leper, but in my heart, I'm going to do good.
Right. You still got to do
what they did.
No matter your shortcomings or ostracization, no matter how the people ostracize you, you're still supposed to do good and do just and righteousness, which is according to the codification these lepers did. They knew this ain't right. We know the codification. So let's do what we're supposed to do, which they did. All right. Cadre, if you're done with your commentary, I certainly am. Let's move on to the next. Thank you, brother. Let's move on to the next chapter. Elisha, the prophet. Let me get my bifocals on. Elisha, prophet, said to the woman whose son he revived, leave immediately with your family and go and sojourn somewhere else. For Yah has decreed a 7-year famine upon the land, and it has already begun. The woman had done as the man of Yah had spoken. She left with her family and sojourned in the land of the Philistine for 7 years.
So,
at the end of the
story, y'all too.
Mm-hmm.
Stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Where did she go?
She went to the land of the Philistines.
And who were the Philistines?
Enemies.
But what was their pedigree? Who was their father?
Oh, I explained it to the listeners, Kadria.
Their father was a Hamite.
Okay.
And in today's terms, the Philistines were African.
Okay.
So she didn't have no problem leaving her homeland,
mm-hmm.
her home country,
mm-hmm.
going into the land of the Philistines. In today's term, they are African. For how many years?
Seven,
how many years?
7 years.
7 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is.
And we're in a Western world, and we call ourselves African Americans, and how we see Africans on the continent of Africa is according to Western perspective.
Concept. Right.
Because we did not have any problems in ancient times with so-called Hamite Africans. She's going into a land of the Philistines, who were our enemy for a long time.
Right.
She looked just like us because we know Samson, he couldn't resist Delilah. She was so beautiful that he abandoned the Most High.
Exactly.
It was good. But we're talking about black people. They say Ham was first black. The Philistines were black. Okay. So
exactly. She's
going to a black nation, the Philistines, for 7 years because of the trouble that's in the land that she's living in.
Exactly.
So we live in a troubled land. Why should we move like her to a land that will give us peace, even if they are Hamites?
Well, you should do whatever you pray to Yah, and Yah direct you in that direction. If he said it's more favorable for you to be there, perhaps it would be in your best advantage to get there. Because surely here in this Western Hemisphere, for 402 years and counting, situation hadn't proved that much at all. It's getting worse. Only thing that improved for us this Western Hemisphere is technology. Only thing that's changed is technology in a year, for the most part.
And technology is destroying the earth.
Exactly. And that's about it. And she did the right thing. She didn't. She did it right without question. She went and left for 7 years, and it seems she didn't have no problem. She didn't seem to have no problem with him. And they didn't seem to have any problem with her.
And this is a woman going into enemy land.
Terror.
The Philistines hated us.
Yeah, enemy territory. Enemy territory. You're right. All right. Enemy territory. And she sojourned in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, the woman returned from the land of the Philistines and went to the king to complain about our house and farm. Now the king.
So she had the ability to come back, right?
Right, right. She
after
had the right.
7 years, she came back.
That was her spot. They couldn't take it for tax exemption or whatnot. That was her spot. They couldn't just take her stuff like that. That was her spot. And Gehazi. Now the king was talking to Gehazi. We all know about him, the man. The servant of the man of Yah. And he said, tell me all the wonderful things that Elisha has done. While he was telling the king how Elisha had revived a dead person, in came the woman whose son he had revived, complaining to the king about her house and farm. My lord king.
Elijah did what?
Gehazi was telling the story to the king. And here comes the woman he was telling the story about. And Gehazi said, this is the woman. This is her son, whom the prophet Elisha revived. The king
So wait a minute, Yah too.
Yes.
It's about how Yah does the impossible.
Exactly.
They didn't have modern-day hospitals, did they?
No, he didn't.
EKGs and however they shock your heart to come back in condition. This is ancient time.
Yeah.
And the fact that the woman brought her dead son to the prophet and was complaining about, you came to my house, my son died, blah, blah, blah. And the prophet brought his life back. The Most High put the boy's soul back into his body because of the prophet's prayer.
Exactly.
It shows that the Most High does impossible, the impossible.
He certainly does if you're plugged in. But you got to be plugged in.
Man is still living.
Right.
As a testimony that Yah does the impossible.
If you're plugged in. The king questioned the woman, and she told him the story. So the king assigned a eunuch to her and instructed him, restore all of her property, all the revenues from her land, from the time she left until now. The prophet Elisha arrived in Damascus at a time when King Ben-Hadad of Syria was ill. The king was told, the man of Yah is on his way here. And he said to Hadad, take a gift with you and go meet the man of Yah, and through him inquire of the Elohim. I want to know about it. Will I recover from this illness? Hazael went to meet him, taking with him a gift, 40 camel loads of all the bounty of Damascus.
The connection that our people had with the Most High, the creator of the universe, caused kings of other nations to know that we had that connection.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Which is why people of the earth fear us today. They don't want us to reconnect with the Most High like we did in ancient times.
Exactly.
And try with the best of their ability to keep us from that. This is a foreign king coming to find out what the creator, what his counsel is for him in order for him to be back to his health.
Exactly.
Kings don't do that. They're going to go to their own counselors. They're going to go to their own doctors. You're going to go to your own astrologers and physicians to figure out what's best for them, because that's the tradition of kings.
Mm-hmm.
This king is going to the king of Israel because he knows that we're connected with the creator.
Right. Well, sending 40 camel loads of gifts is like sending 40, it's like sending 40 pickup trucks loaded with gifts in the back. That's a lot of gifts, brother. All the bounty of Damascus. He came and stood before him and said, your son, King Ben-Hadad of Syria, has sent me to you to ask, will I recover from this illness? And listen, the prophet said,
Excuse me. What does the king call himself?
Your son.
Your son? What king says, I'm your son, to another nation?
Well, this king apparently had some humility about himself.
He had wisdom.
Right.
And he knew the real deal.
Right. And he knew what time it was and which way it was. And Elisha says, however, the king has revealed to me that he would, Elisha said to him, go and said to him, you will recover. However, Yah has revealed to me that he will die. The man of Yah kept his face expressionless for a long time. Then he wept. Why does my Lord weep? Asked Hazael. Because I know, he replied, what harm you will do to the Israelite people. You will set their fortresses on fire, put their young men to the sword, dash their little ones in pieces, and rip open the pregnant women. But how, asked Hazael, can your servant, I'm nothing, who is a mere dog, perform such a mighty deed? How can I possibly, I'm not the king. The prophet replied, Yah has shown me a vision of you as king of Syria. He left Elisha and returned to his master, who asked him.
So, Yahshua, how deep is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's deep.
That you should look at a man like, or the prophet did, Hazael, who's a servant to the king, look into his eyes and see in him from your connection with Yah what the future is going to be. Because this servant of the king don't know what this prophet is talking about.
Exactly. Because he said,
I'm going to inherit the kingdom.
I'm just a dog.
That's not what he came there for. He didn't want to hear that.
Right. He said, I'm just a dog.
Looking into his eyes, and the Most High is telling him, this man that's standing before you, he's going to do damage to your people.
Exactly.
And it caused the prophet to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And told him, deep in Job's connection with us when we're connected with him. That's
and
a deep connection, man.
And told him in detail information, and it let him know in detail information. We advised Hazazel.
And Elisha knew he couldn't do nothing about it.
Not a thing. So Hazazel, he left Elisha and returned to his master, who asked him, what did Elisha the prophet say to you? He replied, he told me that you would recover. The next day, Hazazel took a piece of net, netting it in water and spread it over his face. So King Ben-Hadad died, and Hazazel succeeded him as king. He murdered the
king.
He murdered the king.
And he didn't tell him the whole message, did he?
No, he didn't.
Because he told him that he would recover, but he's still going to die.
Yeah, he murdered him. Yeah, go by his hand. He murdered
him. And he didn't die because of his sickness. He died because Hazazel murdered him. Because the prophet told him that he would become king.
Right.
Crazy.
He recovered from his illness, but Hazazel murdered him. Okay. In the fifth year of King Jehoram, son of Ahab of Israel, Jehoshaphat had been king of Judah. Jehoram, son of King Jehoshaphat of Judah, became king. He was 32 years old.
So wait, hold up. You gotta understand what's going on. Because you have two kings, King of Israel and the King of Judah.
Well,
they got the same name.
Contrary, they got to stick with us. Okay, we can't keep going back and trying to explain it to them. I already told him it's two different, split kingdom, divided kingdom. you got to stick with us now. We can't keep going back and telling y'all something. Oh, that's right. Young Super Contrary said your hat's fat. That's from the side. But that's what we told you. You got to stick with us, people. Stick with us. Okay, this got to be. You got to know what's going on. Okay. As Katria rightly pointed out to you, so you got to keep this in mind. You got two different kingdoms, split kingdom here. And so, as Katria rightly pointed out to you, you got to know what's going on. So keep this in mind. Bear this in mind. This is important. It's important for him to point it out to you, and it's important for you to keep this in your mind. Okay?
And the point is that King of Israel and the King of Judah got similar names.
Exactly. Similar names. All right. Are y'all with us now? Okay. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He followed the practice of the king of Israel. Whatever the house of Ahab did, for he married a daughter of Ahab, he did was displeasing to Yah. However, Yah refrained from destroying Judah for the sake of his servant Dawud. In accordance, this king married someone from the house of King Ahab, which was of the 10 tribes. And, you know, they were doing the dirt. They were dirty. So it's pointing out to you, he married a woman from the house of Ahab, King Ahab, and they were doing the dirty. And so he married. Yeah, go ahead.
He married Ahab's daughter and Jezebel's daughter.
Yeah, yeah. You show right, Gautier, man. That slipped my mind. I started to say a bad word, Gautier, but I'm glad I did. You show right.
He married Ahab's daughter and Jezebel's daughter. The king of Judah married Ahab's daughter and Jezebel's daughter.
Yeah. The Phoenician woman.
And he's leading him astray.
The Phoenician half-breed. Yeah. Cartel, I'm glad you with me on this show, brother, because this has slipped my mind momentarily. You sure know what to say, Cartel. And you know how she was, just like her mama. Her mama gave it to her. Yeah. Thank you, Cartel. Thank you very much. And he did what was displeasing to Yah by being led away by this young woman. However, Yah refrained from destroying Yehuda for the sake of his servant, King David.
Why did he do what?
He refrained from destroying Yehuda for the sake of his servant, King David.
Who's your servant?
King David.
King
David.
King Rehoboam?
No, King David.
Absalom?
No, King David.
Jesus?
Oh, man, stop it. In accordance with his promise to maintain a lamp for his descendants for all times. During his reign.
Jesus?
No, King David.
Which is who?
The king of Yehuda. The king of Israel.
God's servant.
The United King of Israel.
Okay.
And during his reign, the Edomites rebelled against Yehuda rule and set up a king of their own. Joram crossed over to Zer with his chariot. He arose by night and attacked the Edomites who were surrounding him and the chariot commanders. But his troops fled to their homes. Thus Edom fell away from Yehuda. That's when Edom broke apart from under the control of Yehuda. And it's still the case today. That's why they're all over the world calling mess.
And they're calling themselves Jewish.
Yeah. That's why they're all over the world now calling chaos and confusion.
They call themselves Jewish because they was under Yehuda.
Right.
And they broke away.
They got away.
They're trying to claim that they're Yehuda, but they're saying they're Jewish.
And the case, Libna, likewise celebrated that. I think Libna is basically Libya. Libna? Now, I'm not certain of that.
Liberia.
Yeah, Liberia, yeah. They fell away. I want to give y'all a lesson over the weekend. I want y'all to study on Libna, and you come back to me. Monday, the Most High will, and give me some detailed information on Libna, okay? We need to know this. The other events of Joram's reign and all his actions are recorded in the annals of the king of Yehuda. Joram slept with his father and was buried with his father in the city of Daud. His son Ahaziah succeeded him as king. In the 12th year of King Joram, the son of Ahab of Israel, Ahaziah, son of Zorah, became king of Yehuda. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king. He reigned in Israel 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah, daughter of the king of Omri of Israel. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. He was down and dirty and did what was displeasing to Yah, like the house of Ahab. For he was related by marriage to the house of Ahab. He marched with Joram, son of Ahab, to battle against King Hazael, the one we talked about, of Syria at Ramoth Gilead. But the Syrians wounded Joram. King Joram returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted upon him at Ramoth. when he fought against King Hazael, remember who we talked about, of Syria, and King Ahazah, son of Jehoram of Yehuda, went down to Jezreel to visit Jehoram, son of Ahab, while he was still ill. All right, Katria, what is your commentary, brother?
A lot of stuff going on in our history, right?
Man, a whole lot going on. Coming from all ends, Katria. I'm going to look up Libna while you're making your commentary.
We can see that the Most High loved King David, his servant, which is why he preserved any of his descendants when he sat upon his throne. It was only because of him that he preserved the throne of King David, his servant. People try to substitute Jesus for King David, but there is no substitution. All you have to do is read Psalms 2. Israel forever. Which is why in the 23rd Psalm he says, I will dwell in the house of Yah forever. And if King David is living and dwelling in the house of Yah forever, he is king of Israel. His sons didn't meet the mark. His sons didn't match up to him. Yah still considers him his servant. And because King David was his servant, he showed mercy to his sons who tried to sit on his throne. So, how they twisted up the Old Testament, we see with the prophets, that they try to equate the works of Jesus with Elisha and Elijah the prophet. They brought people back to life, both of them. And they tried to say the same thing in the New Testament. This is what Jesus did. Pure plagiarism. Pure plagiarism. We're talking about the authentic. We're talking about the original. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. So you could go with the Osmonds, but I'm going with the Jacksons. Okay.
You get your mind right, Cartrell. Okay, Cartrell. As Cartrell was telling y'all, Libna. Lona, Hebrew whiteness. They must have been white folk. I'm just saying, reading what I'm reading. It means whiteness. They were just like the Edomites.
Was leprosy?
It's their whiteness.
Okay. Leprosy.
Right. This nation was an independent city, probably near the western seaboard of Israel, with its own king at the time of the Israelite occupation of Canaan. It is thought to have been an important producer of revenue and one that rebelled against the Yehudite crown. Okay. And sometimes nations, they describe who they are and what they're about. And so this place, this Hebrew word, that should be reflective of a relative to who they were and what they look like, okay? All right. Go ahead, Katria.
So we heard Canaan, and we know the Canaanites come from Ham. We know that Western institutions teach that Ham was cursed black. But do your research. Who are the Hamites? They're the Ethiopians. They're the Egyptians. They are the Philistines. They are the Canaanites. And if they were cursed black, and the children of Jacob was dealing with these Hamites, not just dealing with them, but marrying them, because Abraham married an Egyptian who was a Hamite.
Yeah. Right.
Joseph married a Hamite who was an Egyptian. Right. Moses married an Ethiopian. Then you need to do your research in regards to who the sons of Noah were, because Europeans will tell you the Ham was cursed black, but Noah was black. Noah was black from Adam. Adam, they showed you he was a black man. So where did the white man come in? And we see that leprosy is a curse that's placed upon people that turns their skin white, not black.
Right. And that's the curse. The curse is leprosy. And what does leprosy describe? And the Edom in Libna had rebelled against Yehuda and got away from under Yehuda. And Edom, as we know, didn't look remotely anything like us. And along with these other people that didn't look anything remotely anything like us. Okay?
Not only did Edom not look like his brother Jacob, but he intermingled with the Greeks.
And what'd that tell you? What'd that tell you? Okay, then. And what'd that tell you? All right.
Yep.
All right, Cartier, my dear brother and friend, if you're done with your commentary, you know we're always looking forward in our space to another lovely connection with y'all through the book of King Dawood the Psalmist.
No question about that. Our King David, the Most High Servant, the Anointed, Mashiach, the Christ that people talk about, because he was anointed, because that's what Christ means. That's what Mashiach means. That's what Messiah means. It means anointed. And if you go to Psalms 2, King David is Yah's anointed. And we're in the book of our King, the Anointed King, King David, Psalm 17. And it shows his humility. It shows that he never leaned upon his own understanding, that in his mind, his first thoughts, his first meditation was on our Creator.
Amen.
So they say, follow the leader. King David is our leader. And this is how we should conduct our lives. So we give thanks and praise to the Almighty Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
For creating our King, King David, and allowing him to put down his words in a diary, to write it down on a scroll, to where we can read it today. Because that's all they had back in ancient times, scrolls, sheepskin. Hear the right, O Yah. Attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer, that goeth not out of foreign lips. So Yah knows us, he created us, and we ask that Yah, our Creator, hears us when we speak to him. How many of us are speaking to Yah in our prayer? Let my senses come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold things that are equal. So we asking for justice, balance, righteousness in the life that we live. And in this captivity, we see none of that. That has proved my heart. The Most High is going to prove us, whether it be for him or for the vain things that King Solomon talks about. That has visited me in the night, that has tried me, and shall find nothing. And the Most High will try you. He'll send Satan, Lucifer, just like he sent Satan and Lucifer at Job. Are we going to be made faithful to the Most High, or will we be like Job's wife? Because Job's wife told Job, you know, curse your God and die. Job said, no, no, no. I don't know what you're talking about. But I came in butt naked into the world, and I'm going to go out. And I'm going to remain loyal and faithful to the Most High. So Yah will test you. Are you loyal and faithful to your Creator? So Yah's going to provide. He's going to prove your heart. You have visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am proposed that my mouth shall not transgress. So with your mouth you can transgress. The things that you say out your mouth, you can't take back. Don't transgress out of your mouth. Don't curse things that shouldn't be cursed. You should be blessed with things that should be blessed. And you should always speak positivity as opposed to negativity. Concerning the works of men, and we know that the works of men, the Most High said, it grieves me that I have made man. He because man is evil from his youth. And we look at the works of men, they have destroyed God's creation. It says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. The works of men are destroying Yah's creation. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps might not slip. So we don't want to walk in the path that everybody else on the planet is walking in, because they're destroying Yah's creation. We want to be in a path that is inclined and in tune with the Most High. I have called upon thee, which is what we all need to do. Don't call your mother. Don't call your father. Don't call your lawyer. Don't call your rabbi. Don't call your priest. We call on Yah. I have called upon you, Yah, for you will hear me, O Elohim. Incline your ear unto me and hear my speech. That's all I'm concerned with. I don't care about who's out there. The first force that I speak to is my Creator. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that sitteth by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee, for those that rise up against them, which is the pattern of King David. So if you follow the pattern of King David, Yah will rise up against your enemy, but you have to call upon him first. Me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, which he did for our king, King David. From the wicked that oppressed me. Are we being oppressed?
24/7, 365 days a year. Including
and are
the
we
day
praying this prayer?
We should be.
And absolutely. From my deadly enemies. Hands up. I ain't got no weapon. Don't shoot. Our enemies are deadly, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They don't mean you no good. I don't care what they None of us worth two dead flies. Education, health, labor, law, politics, you name it. I call it.
And they're justified in their own system in killing us and shooting us down, right?
Exactly.
So I'm going to read it again. It says, keep me, the nation of Israel, as the apple of Yah's eyes. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. We ought to be hidden if we have connection with Yah. From the wicked that oppress us, from my deadly enemies who can pass me about. How do we protect ourselves from police officers?
You raise your hand to Yah instead of raising your hand up.
Because the Most High says they are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth, they speak proudly. Because they know if they shoot you and me, Yam Su, there ain't going to be no justice. No matter what we say. No justice, no peace.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
They have a capacity to bow in our steps. Everywhere we go. We go jogging, they shoot us. We live in our own house, they shoot us. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. So they see us. They got cameras everywhere. They shoot us. They get away with it. They can go about their business. The next day, they're going to shoot somebody else and get away with it, or so they think. Our prayer is this. What is our prayer? Not hands up, don't shoot. Not Black Lives Matter. Not no justice, no peace. We need to do like King David did. Our king. What do you say? He said, arise, O Yah, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. You know, the Most High used our oppressors to punish us, which is his sword. The sword to take your head off. A sword to cut you in half. A sword will end your life. And this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with your sword. Your sword. Our oppressors, our enemies, the people that hate us, they are the Most High sword. That's what we're dealing with. From men, which are thy hand, oh yeah, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hidden treasure, thy children, and leave the rest of their substance to their baby. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So King David is talking about he's going to awake from where he's sleeping, because he's sleeping right now, because King David been in the grave a long time, but he knows that he's going to awaken to see the glory of the Most High Yah. King David knows that he's going to reawaken to see the glory of the Most High Yah. So our portion as a nation is greater than we know, than what we know and what we've been taught. We've been taught that we are less than everybody else, and we're trying to be like everybody else. But the Most High shows that we are a royal slave. Anywhere we go, we bless the nations that we're in the midst of. So if all of our people left America, America would not be what it is today.
All right, Patria. Well, thank you, brother, for your commentaries on the 17th Psalm of King Dawood and its perspectives to give us some understanding and insight and to get us plugged in. Patria, you know what tonight is. It's a family affair. So do you have anything to share with the family?
I just want to give thanks to the Holy One of Israel for allowing us to wake up out of the illusions, the dreams that America and the Western man, universal white races, supremacists, have been selling us. We're trying to make a democracy in America live. But in the midst of all this, the Most High has shown us truth. And in the midst of his showing us truth, I want to praise and bless Yah for allowing us to bless him and to return to our roots, to know the truth of his plan and not the plan of man, that we do have hope for the future, that with the European powers, universal white racial supremacists are showing us is not our future, that our future is greater than what they have shown us. And we have to return to our roots and our power so that we can survive the madness that punishment has brought us.
Okay. Well, Cartrell, I'd like to praise Yah and thank him for my help. I'd like to thank him for the prospects of restoring my soul for his name's sake, as King Dawood said. So I would give praise, if so, and that I would give praise to him in a great assembly.
And dwell in his house forever.
Exactly. And for allowing me to put all my trust only in him, and everything, and every sense of direction and a purpose, and not relying on anybody but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. For this radio show that give us an opportunity to help others, for you and for Yim Yahu as friends and brothers, for Aviyah as a sister, because as I said in our studies, we realize that on a third of us, universally speaking, gonna have some get right. Two-thirds by the numbers, going to be a hot mess. And the evidence doesn't lie. You just look around you. The evidence doesn't lie. Two-thirds of us are leading the parades and nonsense, violence, mistreatment, abuse, and domination toward one another. We have been colonized, and it's not to our own best interest. We hate anybody that looks anything remotely like us, and we're willing to write a song about it and kill each other. And so the evidence doesn't lie. But I'd like to give praise nonetheless for the third of us that are left, universally speaking, that have some connection with Yah, and that Yah gives those the opportunity and chance to be plugged in and make things right with ourselves and one another, and most importantly, our relationship with Yah. All praises to Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. We are country.
You have to be written in the book of life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you're not written in the book of life, it's something that you're doing wrong.
Right. Yeah, I pray that the Most High, that you're living a life of not self-righteousness, the righteousness of Yah, and that you pray to the Most High that your feet don't slip, feet don't fail me now. Like King Darwin said, that you don't slip into darkness. And you're doing what everybody else doing because everybody is doing it, so it seems, when in fact everybody is not doing it. It just appears to be that way. Everybody ain't doing dirt. You know, everybody ain't down with the dirt. It just appears to be that way, but it's not that way. There's a third of us, universally speaking, is not doing dirt, ain't trying to do dirt, and ain't trying to get with nobody that's doing dirt. So be assured of that fact, okay? We're few and far in between, but we're there. So when you think you're all alone, you're not. You know, just because you don't see us, just because you don't see Cartrell, you don't see me. You certainly don't see Yah. Don't think you're alone. It's true. All right, Cartrell. Well, brother, it's been a pleasure. I'm gonna call you tomorrow. I want to talk to you, you and Yim Yahu, about the information you, brother, have gathered. I'm going to share with you the information I've gathered tomorrow. And we're going to keep it pushing, okay? You pray for me, brother. I'm going to pray for you and Yim Yahu and all this nation that we gather.
And
Go ahead, Cartrell.
I'm praying for the salvation of our people, that wisdom will be our sister, our friend, that we can reconnect with Yah, because we need wisdom more than anything.
We surely do, Cartrell. And you said a mouthful right there. You said a mouthful right there, brother. Well, fellow students, Cartrell and I, we don't know where you're going, but we do know this for certainty. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And it's all about relationship, a constructive and positive one, a total reliant one, and with each other, how we should do and what we should do in regards to one another and what we should not do. And in regards to different nations, strangers, how we can get along with other nations and how all nations should all look to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov in the final analysis. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
Try.